Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. This is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews podcast, bringing you not a review this time from a Christian geek worldview. Today, I'm talking about Valentine's Day, and I'm going to talk about one relationship in comic books that is not the ideal relationship, not the relationship that you should be looking up to. But first off, I want to say that, hey, Valentine's Day is not actually a fluke. I actually learned fairly recently that Valentine's Day is not a fluke. It's not like people being like, hey, let's get a day to, you know, it's not Hallmark making up a day, right? You know, it's not like what people say, you know? That's kind of has been my mentality towards Valentine's Day. And I mean, I'm the you know, grouchy single person, I guess. But that's kind of been my mentality towards Valentine's Day because it's just always seemed like a day that's like, oh, let's celebrate the fluffy, you know, stuff about love. And it's like, okay, but, you know, it's never, I've never thought of it as anything more than that, just kind of a very superfluous, fluffy kind of holiday, and you know, which it's way bigger of a holiday than most holidays like that are, you know. But then it turns out, hey, you know what? No, this is actually based on like a Christian martyr, Saint Valentine. Like, who knew that? Did we learn that in history? Maybe. I might have learned that in history, but I didn't remember that. And so it's like, hey, look at that. Valentine's Day is actually has some kind of a purpose or some kind of a point or something. So, hey, that's interesting, I guess. Also, how do you pronounce Valentine's Day? Do you say Valentine's Day like me, or do you say Valentine's Day? I've always just said Valentine's Day, like it's spelt with an M. Even though it's spelt with an N, it is Valentine's Day. But I've always said Valentine's Day, and listening to other people, I hear other people that say Valentine's Day, and then I hear people that say Valentine's Day. So that's also kind of interesting because someone pointed that out to me. They're like, hey, you say Valentine's Day. And I'm like, what? And, you know, I had never even thought of it because I was just like, oh, that's how you pronounce it. But no, it's not actually how you pronounce it. But it didn't change my way of pronouncing it because I still call it Valentine's Day. So if you're offended by that, well, you best get over it because that's how I speak apparently. So happy Valentine's Day, everybody. So now on to what this episode is actually about, and that is Harley Quinn and the Joker. I think everybody gets their relationship wrong. And now, I think a lot of people just get Harley Quinn in general wrong in a lot of ways. And so Harley Quinn is the character that I'm going to be focusing on the most here. And so, you know, is this actually an episode about relationships? Well, actually, it's more of an excuse for me to talk about Harley Quinn, one of my personal favorite supervillains. And so, you know, I guess here we are, and that's just the way it's going to be. But Harley Quinn, I think everybody gets Harley Quinn wrong, and especially Harley Quinn and her relationship with the Joker. Like, everything that I see nowadays, I don't think is right over that. I think over the years after the creation of Harley Quinn, if you didn't know, Harley Quinn was actually, is not originally from the comics. She's originally from Batman, the animated series, one of the best animated series of all time. It's absolutely fantastic. But she's actually originally from that, and then she was adapted into the comics and now into live action movies and all over the place. Harley Quinn is everywhere because, I mean, she's a cool character. But I do think over the years, since her inception there, she has evolved into something different, you know, what she is now. And I ultimately, I think it's something that kind of hurts her character as a whole. I mean, first off, just this is kind of the obvious one, it seems like, at least to me. But like, first off, like her status as like the sex symbol that she pretty much is now at this point. I mean, okay, her character has always had, you know, some of the stuff that makes her into the kind of the sex symbol she is today. Her character has always had that kind of stuff in there. You know, she's a very flirty character, right? It's a part of her poppy, fun personality. And, you know, even going back to her origins in Batman the Animated Series, there's actually some fairly suggestive parts in that series, especially for, you know, an animated series mainly aimed at kids. But progressing forward from there, this has gotten out of control in recent years, I think. I mean, I've seen comic books, I've seen animated movies, and even Suicide Squad to a certain extent, where they push the sex appeal of this character so much that it's to the detriment of the character herself, or itself, or however you say that. It's to the detriment of the actual character. And I mean, to pinpoint like an inexact example, like the animated movie Batman and Harley Quinn, for like at least the first half of that movie, I think even more of that movie, all Harley Quinn is there to do is to make, you know, innuendos, sex jokes, and to, you know, to show off her animated body, and that's like, she did not have any character in that movie, really, for so much of that movie, until Poison Ivy gets introduced, and from there, we actually get to see a little bit more of her actual character, as opposed to just her being the, ooh, I'm funny and fun and quirky and flirty and all this kind of stuff, you know, and kind of her being that sex symbol, and that showing so much through in this movie, it's just kind of, in this movie, and then I've seen it in comic books and all this kind of stuff, it's like, you know, that hurts her character as a whole. There is a lot more to her character than this, and there is a lot more interesting things and depth to her character that I think a lot of people miss nowadays, and a big part of that, I think, is kind of them pushing the sexiness of this character. Now, moving over to the relationship between the Joker and Harley Quinn, I think there is a lot more depth here as well than a lot of people give it credit for. I mean, it seems like, you know, they're crazy, but they're in love. You know, that's kind of the angle that it seemed like Suicide Squad was going for, which isn't quite right. And, or they're like, you know, hey, she's the crazy girl and she falls in love with the crazy guy, you know, it's, you know, which is a little bit, you know, a little bit different than they're both in love with each other. But, I think that gets Harley Quinn wrong as well. I think both of those takes on their character and their relationships do both of their characters a disservice, I think. But particularly Harley Quinn, because Harley Quinn, her story with the Joker, her relationship with the Joker, I think one of the things that they do well back in the animated series is they deal with the issue of abuse, you know, and I mean, they don't maybe dive into it as much as you could in a, you know, PG-13 or R-rated live action movie or something like that. But for, as I said before, you know, an animated series primarily aimed at kids, they deal with this topic of abuse and control over, you know, person, somebody having control over another person and all this kind of stuff. They deal with it fairly well, and they do it in a way that makes the characters, and especially Harley Quinn, interesting and even kind of relatable to one extent or another, especially if you watch Mad Love, which is one of my favorite episodes of Batman the Animated Series. But I think on top of kind of all the fun you can have with that relationship, because you have Harley Quinn, who is a funny character, and you have Joker, who's also a funny character, and so you can get some good comedy in here, you can get some good dark comedy, and you can get some, you know, you can get some laughs and stuff out of this relationship. But at the same time, I think that what this relationship should be portrayed as is it's tragic. And I think it is portrayed like that in Batman the Animated Series. I think it's tragic. And because you see how The Joker doesn't care about Harley Quinn. That's very clear. The Joker does not care about Harley Quinn. The only amount that he cares about her is that she's a useful tool for him. He's a psychopath. He doesn't feel... I think of him as a psychopath, at least, that where he doesn't actually feel emotions for anybody else. If there's anybody that he might feel emotions for, it's Batman. So, you know, there's that. He doesn't care about Harley Quinn. He just knows how to push her buttons to make her go, you know, fall in love with him and keep coming back to him despite how much he abuses her, despite how much he'll, you know, leave her to die and all these horrible, continually doing absolutely horrible things to her over and over and over. And then she'll just turn a blind eye to all of it because he can woo her back because he is very manipulative and very controlling over her. And she's, you know, kind of very submissive to him now. And it's this very serious, very, very horrible situation. And you see Harley Quinn in episodes of Batman the Animated Series and in some other places. You see her, like, seeing her relationship with the Joker and seeing, hey, this is not good, you know. And then trying to get out of it. And then the Joker lures her back in, and so it's this continuous cycle that she's stuck in with her and with the Joker. And that's, you know, that's this very kind of tragic story. And in the Batman the Animated Series, it's kind of wrapped up in a somewhat lighter bow because, again, it is an animated series made for kids. I don't think she loves Joker because she's crazy. Like, I don't think she's mentally challenged at all, even. Like, she's crazy, like, she's nuts. But I don't think she's, like, mentally challenged like the Joker is. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any kind of mental problems with Harley Quinn. I just think she's more, you know, young and dumb, you know? And so she's going off and she does all these crazy things for the person that she thinks she loves. And, you know, you hear about these stories in real life of, you know, these young girls going off and doing things for, you know, older guys that they think they're in love with and they're being used and all this kind of stuff. That's very much this situation. I guess I don't know how much older the Joker is supposed to be than Harley Quinn, but that's kind of always been my perception, is that she's a lot younger than he is. She's just breaking into her field of psychology, which I imagine would take a long time to get into. I don't really know, but whatever. You know, she's just new to it. She's just breaking into her field, and the Joker is one of her first patients, I believe. And which, why would you give the Joker to the first patient? Anyway. and so, you know, she's very young and then and more able to be manipulated. And then he's a little older, and he knows how to manipulate people, because generally speaking, that's what psychopaths are good at. And so her being kind of crazy and having this kind of crazy personality, I don't think, you know, that has anything to do with, like, a mental handicap. And so her falling in love with the Joker, I don't think has anything to do with a mental handicap or anything like that. And so I don't really buy the whole, you know, oh, they're crazy and in love idea. And I don't buy that, you know, that she's crazy and that's why she's in love, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Like, I don't think that's how that relationship is supposed to work. I think that relationship is supposed to be tragic and it's supposed to be sad. And when it comes down to it and you actually see what's going on, you're like, this is terrible. This is so sad. And it should kind of be a warning for the people watching it to kind of, you know, look out for this kind of thing in your own life, you know, or in the lives of those around you. And then later on in the comics, she breaks free of that. She breaks free of the Joker and she becomes her own character. You know, it's because so much of her is so, like, early on in the series and early on with her character, so much of her character is kind of based around the Joker because that was her origin. You know, her origin was like, hey, we got this spunky sidekick for the Joker kind of thing. And so, you know, so much of her origin was so closely tied with the Joker, and they break away from that, and now, you know, she's her own fully fleshed out character, and she breaks away from that that cycle that the Joker has her under, and now, you know, she can go off and be who she, she wants to be, and who, and she actually turns out to be a hero. You know, she doesn't, she's not a villain. I mean, she's not, you know, she's still kind of not completely heroic all the time, but she's, you know, she turns out to be, you know, more of the good person, more of the hero than, like, kind of like what she started out with. She started out to be a psychiatrist to help people like the Joker, you know, change, you know, to get better and stuff. She started out good, you know, and but then the Joker kind of twisted her and manipulated her and all this stuff, and she turned bad. And then once she breaks free of the Joker, she turns back towards good. And I think that's another really interesting aspect to her character, is that, you know, I don't think she was ever, well, she was definitely a bad person, but she's not bad or evil in the way that the Joker is. She was more twisted into it and manipulated into it, and then she became that person, and she still made all those decisions, so she, you know, she was still evil for a lot of, you know, her span in the comics. But I think it's interesting that so much of the evil that comes out of Harley Quinn, it really is more kind of the Joker using her, and that's never, you know, that's never her intention per se, or never really where she wanted to be or anything like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand why I think that so many of the depictions of Harley Quinn recently, I think, haven't quite been right, and the relationship with the Joker hasn't quite been right? I think we kind of need stories about abusive relationships, and we need stories about some of these hard things, because life is hard, and that stuff is real in life. And I mean, I know this is definitely true for me. When I see stuff in stories, and then they talk about stuff in stories, stuff clicks in my mind way better than if I hear about it, you know, on the news or something. And, you know, that's why Jesus talked in parables, right? And so I think we need stories about, you know, people that have been abused, like Jessica Jones. Like, Harley Quinn has a Jessica Jones type story. You know, someone comes in, starts controlling her. I mean, he had mind powers, but, you know, whatever. It's the same kind of idea. He comes in, he starts controlling her. Eventually, she breaks free. And, you know, so much of the first season, especially of Jessica Jones, is about her kind of dealing with that and the aftermath of that. And I think that's was a really good depiction of that. And I think Harley Quinn has the potential to be an excellent depiction of that as well, but I don't think they're doing that. Like, with the way her relationship was with the Joker in Suicide Squad, it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like the Joker legitimately loves her, and she loves the Joker, and it's just like, ooh, they're crazy, but they're in love! And it's just like, that's not the Harley Quinn that I like, you know? It's kind of a bummer. Even though I think Margot Robbie does a fantastic job with the character, I think the writing needs to be better, which was the problem with Suicide Squad in the first place. I mean, the writing was off the wall bad. But but going forward here, I think this can be fixed in the DC universe. Like, okay, we got a Birds of Prey movie coming, and I've heard rumors that they're going to have Harley Quinn and Joker already split up before that movie happens. So when that movie happens, they're already split up. I think that would be a bummer. I don't think they should do that. I think we should have a movie, whether it be a Batman movie or whatever, we should have a movie with the Joker and with Harley Quinn together, and so we can see that relationship, and so we can see that abusive relationship, and not glorify it. You know, so often it seems like it's glorified these days, that relationship between the Harley Quinn and the Joker. Oh, they're crazy and they're in love, I love it. And it's like, yeah, but you shouldn't really. So I think we should get a movie with them, and you can actually see that dynamic there, where he doesn't actually care about her. He's controlling her ultimately. She's in love with him because she's young and she's dumb. Not to say Harley Quinn is a dumb character, right? But, you know, the whole young and dumb thing, I mean, that's a real thing. What can we say? So then once we have that more established properly, then you can have the story where Harley Quinn can break away from the Joker, and Harley Quinn can maybe more become the hero, and that's where the Birds of Prey aspects can come in, where she can be, you know, a hero along with, you know, characters like Huntress and like, you know, some of these other characters that they're bringing into Birds of Prey. I don't really think that's where they're going with this. Again, I've heard the rumors that they're already going to be broken up. And so it's like, it's kind of a bummer. And it seems like they kind of messed it all up with Suicide Squad, which stinks. But I really wish they would get Harley Quinn's character down better. You know, I mean, again, I think Margot Robbie did fantastic. And I totally want to see her more as Harley Quinn. I want the writing around that character to be better. I think you can have a really powerful story, like a really powerful redemption kind of story with her, and a story where she can break away from the Joker and all this kind of stuff. You can have a really good, powerful, strong story with this character. And I mean, I don't think we're going to get the story that I'm kind of, you know, envisioning in my head. And it's kind of a bummer because that's the story. That's the Harley Quinn that I love, and that's the Harley Quinn that I want to see, you know. And so it's like, it kind of stinks that it doesn't seem like that's really the direction they're going with Harley Quinn in the DC universe. I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, but I don't really expect I am. So, you know, this, I've just been seeing this and kind of been thinking about this recently about, like, Harley Quinn and how I'm just thinking, you know, I think they could do her character so much better in so many different places, just all around, and I hope they do. Will they? You know, probably not, but I hope they do. Because I really do like this character, and this character as a villain, and then when she, you know, transforms more into the heroic type later, she's also a really good character and really fun there as well. So there you go, there's some of my thoughts on Harley Quinn, and there's some of my thoughts on the relationship with Harley Quinn and the Joker, because remember, this is a Valentine's Day episode, everybody, so gotta have that relationship talk in there, I guess. So anyway, there you go. That's it for this episode, guys. What do you think? Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with me? Did I not make any sense in any of my points? Shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. This podcast is a proud member of the Christian Geek Central Network, a hub of all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web. It's all funneled to christiangeekcentral.com. Check it out. Coming up on the show, I will be, and you're all probably like, hey, you know what, I'm giving up on this whole Best Things Last Year episode. Well, don't worry, it should be the next episode. I'm going to record it immediately after recording this episode. Actually, I don't know how well that's going to work. I have a cold right now. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. You probably can. I have a cold right now, and my voice is already going, hey, what you doing talking so much? So maybe I'll just record half of it or something, I don't know. But I'm going to start recording it at least immediately after this episode, and it should be coming out not way too long from now. Hey, I'm only, you know, a couple months late, and, you know, at least I beat the Oscars. That's all for this time. This is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews Podcast, signing out. Bye-bye, guys.
You know what's great about you, Puddin'? You really put the fun in funerals.